these eyes. Cry every night for you.
Bill, you have two teenage daughters, right?
Yes, I do.
Do they roll their eyes a lot?
No, not often. Few and far between, but I know when I get the eye roll that something bad has happened.
Doesn't that just irritate the heck out of you when a teenager, girl or boy, but I guess mostly girls, roll their eyes? Aren't you so offended?
A little bit. I'd prefer that it not happen, but it happens sometimes.
You're going to be startled to find out that sometimes that's not exactly what they're trying to do. On the line with us right now, Dr. Lisa Damore, a psychologist, best-selling author, teacher, speaker, consultant, and eye-rolling expert.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good.
Is it just teenage girls that roll their eyes? Because I know I was a teenage girl, and Bill, you just rolled your eyes.
I just did then, yeah.
Did you do that intentionally? Because when I'm telling you, when somebody rolls their eyes, you just want to stop what you're saying and go home.
But Lisa, when I do it, it's because I'm having a seizure. I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm having a convulsion.
Okay.
So is it just girls?
As far as I know, there's no empirical research measuring eye rolling rates, boys versus girls, but I actually did a fair bit of informal research on this. And what I heard is that it's mostly teenage girls, you know, that it is a gesture that girls have pretty much cornered the market on. I think that boys often have the same feelings that inspire eye rolling in girls, but I think they might use a different way to express those same feelings.
Lisa, when you're a teenage girl and you're rolling your eyes, do you want to say whatever, or is it just implied that you're thinking whatever when you're rolling your eyes?
You know, I think that we have a lot of different meanings that are probably behind when girls roll their eyes. And I know that the basis of our conversation today is a piece that I wrote for the New York Times about all of the different reasons that girls roll their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that adults are just usually offended in kind of a reflexive way. But my experience of working closely with teenage girls is that eye rolling means a lot of different things to them depending on the context. So one of the examples I think that is very prominent is if a girl's upset or overwhelmed or something's really bothering her and she doesn't want to get into it, if a parent brings it up, girls might roll their eyes as a way of kind of shaking off the conversation. You know, and it's very easy for an adult to think, you know, why are you rolling your eyes at me? I'm just trying to ask a nice question about how things are going with your friend Julie, who we haven't seen for a while. Whereas the girl might be thinking, I don't want to talk about that. And if we talk about that, I'm going to get upset. So I'm going to distract you and distract myself, you know, by just looking the other way.
But it's not an intentional thing. Like, they're not trying to say, I'm going to roll my eyes so my parents think, you know, I'm bothered by them. It's more of a reflexive thing.
I think often for girls it is reflexive. I think often it's a way of sort of expressing, you know, stop, or I don't want to go there, or, you know, I'm not in agreement. And they just do it, I think, almost somewhat automatically without thinking, you know, here I'm going to give you a hard time, here I'm going to do something that I know is going to bug you. But I think often adults receive it as an insult, you know, or receive it as a rude gesture. And I think sometimes, of course, that is what it is. You know, I mean, girls are not dumb, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they know that they can non-verbally do something that's very rude. And sometimes that's on purpose. But what I think is that much more often, it's a reflex that the girl is using to serve a different purpose that is not about offending a grown-up.
Lisa, here's why that's interesting to me. It seems that that motion, the motion of rolling your eyes, takes a little effort. Like, it wouldn't just happen naturally. I mean, I respect what you're saying, that it's just they're not going out of their way to do it, but it just seems the act of doing it takes some thought process to make it happen.
I think it does. I think occasionally I think it can be reflexive. You know, I was talking with a bunch of teenage girls about this, and they said, oh, you know, sometimes if you're in the back of the car with your friend and your parent is going on and on and being weird, you can kind of look at your friend and roll the eye as a way of sort of saying, you know, isn't my parent silly? And again, it's fairly gentle. It's fairly benign, you know, and it's deliberate, but it's also really easy and handy for girls. But I think there's other times when a girl may do it very, very deliberately, but still it's not meant to provoke the parent. It may even be for herself. You know, so another example I can think of is if, you know, if a girl is, you know, if it's cold outside and she was going to get all bundled up and then her mom says, hey, put on your warmest coat. You know, the girl might turn and privately to herself roll her eyes.
Right.
As a way of being like, oh, okay,
I
mom.
I would not have thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and it's her own kind of between her and her way of saying, all right, I'm not going to get into it with my mother, but I'm going to express, even between me and me, that I didn't really need to hear that.
I think when we were growing up, I probably didn't roll my eyes as much as I said, duh.
Right.
You know?
That comes in handy.
Seriously. And then you are intentionally trying to offend the other person. Bill, when we were first introducing Dr. Damore to the show, you mm-hmm. said, does it go hand in hand, an eye roll with the term whatever? Because I know if I'm trying to make a point with someone and they're just not hearing me, I find myself rolling my eyes in the way of saying, I give up.
Yeah.
So is that a way too?
I think it could absolutely mean whatever. You know, but I actually think we could come up with five different things it means. It can mean, you know, go away, I don't want to have that conversation. It can mean, I think you're being silly and I'm just going to give you a little poke. It can mean, I already knew that and I didn't need to hear it. It can mean, I'm not agreeing with you, but I'm not going to make a big deal of it. I mean, I think that depending on the moment and the context, it can be deployed for a lot of different reasons. And I think that one of the things that I'm most interested in are these very sort of subtle parent-teenager interactions and unpacking how complicated they are, because I think they are complex. And I think we all want to understand our teenagers, and we all want to make sense of our teenagers. And I will say, you know, my experience as an adult and as somebody who takes care of both adults who have teenagers and the teenagers themselves, adults tend to take teenagers more personally than they need to.
You know, and I'm never able to do this, but I know that sometimes when my kids are getting on my nerves, I'm not as nice as I should be. And that's where, you know, we are probably way too honest. And eye roll is kind of a nice way of not getting into it, as you mentioned. But then I think to myself, why don't these girls just say, listen, I don't want to talk about that right now. Use your words instead of an eye roll. But words can hurt. And I had learned that when you're dealing with a problem with one of your kids, pretend it's the neighbor's kid. Because even yeah. something as simple as like, oh my God, you shook the ketchup and it squirted all over the kitchen. I would say it like that to my kid. Mm-hmm. But if the neighbor kid was over, I'd go, oh, no big deal. Okay. Let's just clean that up.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, sometimes in parenting, we're really getting it right. And sometimes in parenting, we wish we could have a do-over. And I am definitely not a psychologist who wants parents to feel like they have to get it right every day and every time.
You know, we're not going to.
It's not human. And the other thing that I think is really interesting is there's a lot of benefit in fixing something that didn't go well, right? So if you freak out about the ketchup, which of course we do at the end of a long day, and, you know, I mean, I certainly have been there myself. There's actually real benefit to going back later and saying, hey, kiddo, you know how I kind of hit the ceiling about the ketchup? Like, I owe you an apology. You
nice.
Know, that wasn't
good.
Fair. That was out of line. You know, I had a very long day. I took it out on you. I'm sorry. You know, that is actually relational money in the bank that, you know, we sometimes underestimate the power of fixing stuff as a way to build a relationship.
Absolutely.
Is it okay, Lisa, if you catch your daughter or son rolling?
Yeah, somebody just texted and said my 12-year-old twin boys do it
all
the time.
Yeah, it's not just girls.
Yeah.
It may be slightly
yeah.
more prevalent. But is it okay to call them out on it and say, if you spot that, hey, don't you roll your eyes at me, Deanna, even though neither of my daughter's names are Deanna? I don't know why. That's the part
them.
That is confusing is I call them that and it's not their name. But is it okay to call attention to the fact that you saw them do it, or do you just
or to
let
say
that...
that's rude if that's an intentional eye roll? Can you say, "Hey, come on, man"?
Absolutely. I mean, if it's meant as an insult, I actually think it's really important to say, you know what, that's pretty rude. You know, if you've got something to say, I hope you'll just say it. You know, I mean, I think that that's an important thing to say, because when teenagers are being rude and nasty, they know it and we know it. And if nobody says anything, I think it actually makes them pretty uncomfortable. You know, I think they're expecting the adults to act like adults. And when we don't, I think it makes them ill at ease. So
yeah.
if it is meant as an insult, I think absolutely you say, hey, you know what? You got something to say. You can say it in a more mature way than that.
Dr. Lisa Damore on the line with us. Go ahead. Back to you.
But I don't think we should always assume it's meant that way. You know, I think sometimes you can really tell that's the intention. But if you see it and you don't know what it's about, I think you can either just let it go, right, not make a big deal of it, everybody carry on. Or you can say, hey, what was that? What's going on? You know, and keep it light and be curious, but not necessarily throw down about it.
You could have given the same advice during the debates last night, Lisa. I don't know what you were doing, but that would have been solid advice all night long last night.
Gosh, don't even get me started.
Right.
Now, and every parent, you know, has gone through this, and this is their own mantra. Oh, you got to pick your battles. And you do have to pick your battles.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty
Absolutely.
Much it.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I think about with parenting is that all of the research we have tells us that it basically comes down to having warmth and having structure. And that's really what makes for good family life and healthy kids. And if you have so much structure, if you have so many rules, if you're so reactive to your kid that there's no warmth at all, you've gone too far in one direction. You know, and if you're so forgiving and so kind and let everything go by that there's no structure and it's all warmth, well, then you've gone too far in the warmth direction. You know, but I think we should be trying to find a middle line as much as we can.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lisa Damore, spelled like of love in French.
It is.
Your book, Untangled, Guiding Teenage Girls Through the 7 Transitions into Adulthood. I believe you had some questions about...
I wanted to know about numbers 1, 3, 4, and 7. I know that seems unusual, Lisa, but that's just the way
right
I am.
Ahead.
All right.
Would you like me to name 1, 3, 4,
no,
and 7?
No, you don't need to do that. Okay. You don't have to do that. But really quickly, kids will grow out of this at some point. At some point in your life, you go, I don't need to do that as much anymore, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think... adolescence is a very stressful developmental phase. There's a huge amount happening in a very short period of time, a ton of growth. And, you know, we shouldn't treat it like it's pathological, but it is stressful.
Yeah.
And I think what's really helpful, and the reason I wrote my book, was to try to bring order to some of that chaos and to help parents appreciate that a lot of what feels personal and it feels like, you know, their teenager's doing things to them is actually a teenager finding their way through the many, many tasks that come with being a teenager.
I love sometimes when my teenage boys do something and my husband will just go, they're teenagers. And I'm like, but that's not an excuse. And then I think back to when I was growing up and nothing, it was just, we were. It wasn't like you were just a weird teenager. I was telling Bill this off the air. If I had a boyfriend or something and we broke up, my mom would say something like, oh, good, he was a jerk anyway. It was, and it's such a different time now where parents will actually say, oh, my God, are you okay? I think we are totally communicating with our kids much more than our parents did.
I think that parents have been made to feel like they've got to get it right all the time.
Mm.
And
they've got to be very present. Yeah, I think there's so many ways to get it right. I think you can mess up, and as long as you go back and try to fix it, I think that's fine. I think you can mess up some days and you don't fix it. You know, family life is big and complicated, and it goes on for a long, long time. And I think as long as parents are willing to take their teenagers seriously and reflect on their own shortcomings and be honest about them, you know, things usually go pretty well.
Dr. Lisa Damore, you can go to drlisademore.com, spelled DAMOUR.com. And the book, Untangled, Guiding Teenage Girls Through the 7 Transitions into Adulthood. If I ever have a girl, I'm going to read it.
Not bad.
Well, apparently a lot of it applies to teenage boys, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Have
a great weekend.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
You too.
All right.
Interesting.
It is.
Quit rolling your eyes.
I can't stop. Once I start, you know, I can't stop. A little bit of a break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.